You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
17 minutes after 11 Central African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage, the 17th of Muharram, 1441. I want to welcome my, of course, my engineer brother, Lokolo. It's good to see his face, first time ever. He's engineering for The Bliss of Marriage, part one, every Tuesdays between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Let's welcome, of course, Haji Yusuf and Haji Faisal Ismail and company, the listeners of Sirius FM and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. 084-786-3132, that's our WhatsApp number. You can, inshallah, send any message, any question you would love to ask our beloved Fadilatul Honorable Ustad is with you this morning, part one on the Bliss of Marriage, and to the international overseas countries, plus 2-784-786-3132. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallah khairan to you and our brother Lokolo.
Ustaz, let's begin, inshallah. This question coming in right now, it's about 11:04. Mufti Saab, I got married recently and I tried my best to do everything that I can do to please my husband, but nothing seems to be good enough for him. He swears me all the time and sometimes he belittles me in public and especially in front of his family. I make dua constantly that he must become more patient and understanding. The question is, Ustaz, the sister says, someone told me to recite Salawat 10 times and then recite Ar-Ra'uf 10 times and I recite Al-Wadudu 1,000 times every day. Please tell me what the Quran says about a husband swearing his wife. Anonymous from Rainsford, Ustaz.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala commands every husband in the noble Quran, Surah 4, Chapter 4, Verse 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives and your spouses with love, equity and justice. Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's noble example is always in front of us. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha reports that called Nabiyyu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Master Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِيكُمْ. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and your children. وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. And I am the best of you for my wives and my children. And the hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif. Therefore, what your husband is doing, if what you are saying is correct, is absolutely haram and not permissible. And he becomes the worst of people because he proposed for you. You left your home, you left your parents, you left your siblings to spend the remainder of life with him. And remember that now he's treating you so badly, swearing you, belittling you in the family and in front of the family. So what you need to do is, when he's in a good mood and you alone, explain to him that all this does not befit a Muslim husband. And secondly, speak to your father-in-law, mother-in-law, and tell them to explain to their son that this what he's doing is haram. Or you contact your local ulama there in the area wherever you are, and in that way they can speak to him. So these are all the options. Yes, what you are reading is very good. Read Ya Wadudu and all the other verses and wazifas you are reading. So all that would help, inshallah. But the main thing is, he need to be told that what he is doing is absolutely haram and unlawful in Islam.
Somebody says, my mother is 48 years old. She recently met a 27-year-old Tunisian man online and now they want to get married, Ustad. I'm very disappointed and disgusted. I think he wants to marry her for papers and money. Please guide the family, Ustad.
Obviously, you need to be very, very careful, sister. You don't know much about his background. He might have a wife, he might have children. He will use you, marriage of convenience, and once his papers are done, so he will have his fun and games, and then they go awol, absent without leave, and then he's gone back to another country or back to Tunisia. So what your children are telling you is correct, that this will be very, very regretful for you and a lot of problems and so forth. thoughts, you will have remorse afterwards. Don't just fall for people, they are sweet talkers, many of these foreigners. So even I will agree and concur with your children that this is a decision you should not just take and think that this is a handsome guy, fair complexion, speaking Arabic and so forth. So you must remember, I've been to Tunisia, and on Sunday they had elections there. So majority of the people there are secular and they have anti-Islamic views, so they don't really love Islam and so forth. So you need to be very, very clear on these type of issues there, that what your children are saying is correct. You should rather call this off.
Mufti Saab, I love listening to Markaz Sahaba, the bliss of marriage. Everybody has problems in their marriages, Ustad. She wants to know, Mufti Saab, my husband is very, very, very possessive. Any specific dua, or should I blow dum on pani? What? Parelo pani, Ustad?
Yes, blow on the water, it's fine. Blow on whatever you can and what is permissible, obviously. And inshallah, you read Surah Fatiha 7 times. And you can blow on him also. Don't blow in such a manner when he's sleeping, he wakes up, you know. Then he will really be upset. But inshallah, if you do that, then inshallah, he will become much cooler and so forth. Sometimes to be possessive is good in Islam, because today in our Western society, people want to be friendly with everybody. So they want to be friendly with the neighbor's husband. They want to be friendly with somebody else's son who's grown up and so forth. And then one thing leads to another. So remember, we need to draw the line as well. But if he is going over the limit, then remember that he doesn't trust you even for a second and so forth. So you read Surah 25 verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriya. Read 2 rakat salat daily, blow on him, blow on the food, and inshallah read Surah Fatiha 7 times, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will bring and increase the love and compassion in your marriage, inshallah.
Somebody's sent me a message right now, Ustad. It says here, Mufti Saab, are Shias Muslims? I heard there are a few branches, Ithna Ashari and Ismailia. I have read about both of them, and Ithna Ashari seems to be very similar to us. I have few friends at school whom are Shia Ithna Ashari, Fadilatul Ustad. And it says, I asked them if they have their own Quran. They said there is only one Quran. What we read and what they read is the same, Ustad?
You must remember that, my brother, you know, that the Shias are very, very smart when you address them. Isna Ashariya are 100% out of the fold of Islam and the Kafir. Ask them that what they say about their 12 Imams. They say their 12 Imams are greater than Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, and on par with Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam. That in itself is kufr. They say they believe in muta, prostitution. You can make muta for 1 hour. And Khomeini has wrote this in the book they gave me, Tawdihul Masail. So ask them that, will they like if somebody does that with their sister? And then ask them that, how come now in Iran, at this current point in time, they have a mazar of the murderer, a mausoleum, a shrine of the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi. So people like this, 100% are out of the fold of Islam. Whatever reading you did, my brother, I don't know which books you are referring to. And we just did Ashura last week, where Tuesday was Ashura. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was murdered and martyred by the Shias, and this is mentioned in the Shia book themselves. You must remember in Irshad by Sheikh Mufid, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu cursed them and then he was martyred. Da'a ala shi'atihi. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's daughter, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's son, were survivors of Karbala, and they cursed the Shia and told them, you're out of the fold of Islam. Go open Hazrat Zainul Abidin's statement in Al-Ihtijaj by Tabrasi, and go open, remember that Fatima Sughra, how she cursed them and told them, till day of Qiyamah, Allah will punish you. So it's very naive of you to think that the Shias are Muslim. They're 100% out of the fold of Islam, whether they are Ismailia, whether they are Isna Ashariya, all of them are out of the fold of Islam. And remember that you should not be going to their houses and eating their food and so forth. That all is unacceptable.
Somebody says, Mufti Sab, I went to see a girl for a samosa run. She was brutally honest about her past, that she was in a serious relationship with a man for 3 years. But things didn't work out, Mufti Sab. Is it wrong for me to reject her based on this? I don't feel comfortable with going ahead. Ustad.
You must remember that when she told you all this, and now you know that she is not maybe even a virgin, and she has a terrible past and so forth. So therefore, you must call everything off. Why must you go to a lady who the Quran Kareem calls khabitha, al-khabitha to lil-khabithin? If you are pure and chaste, and rather go for a lady who's pure and chaste. That is what the Quran Kareem teaches us, Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 26. So Almighty Allah states, at-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin, wat-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat. The pure should get married to the pure, and the moral to the moral, and immoral to the immoral. So what has happened here is now you should make 2 rakat salatu shukr that she told you the history and geography of everything. So rather call everything off, and remember Allah will give you someone better.
I see Brother Yaqub wants to know, Mufti Sab, he says he actually stays at home just to listen to the Bliss of Marriage all the way from Ethiopia, and my wife is a very big fan of the Bliss of Marriage. Mufti Sab, he wants to know that how did Markaz Sahaba started? What is the meaning of Markaz Sahaba, and who named Markaz Sahaba? Brother Yaqub from Ethiopia, Ustad.
MashaAllah, my brother Yaqub, may you reap the benefit of Markaz Sahaba, your wife, your family, and tell all the other Muslims there in Ethiopia and wherever else, your neighboring countries, so they can also take this benefit, inshallah, and understand Islam according to the Quran, the Sunnah, teachings of the Sahaba, the companions of Nabi alayhi salam, the awliyaullah, the friends of Allah, according to the 4 schools of thought. That is Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Our story is a very long story, but in 1 minute, we were with CII, Channel Islam International. I was with them for 17 years. Very, very good, mashallah. Mona Arafat, how many years you were there?
What was that?
With CII?
8 years.
8 years, Maulana was there, and then remembered that things didn't work out, so I resigned and so forth and what have you. And then I decided, with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, and the capital group of Durban came in, and then the rest, as they say, is history. So, mashallah, and our whole thing was that we cannot be compromising with the Shias. Remember that Shias are the enemies of Islam and the enemies of Sahaba. They say Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa are all in Jahannam, Allah forbid. They curse them. So therefore we said the challenge that we have to take up is to protect and promote the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So Markaz means the headquarters, and Sahaba means the beloved students and companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Honorable Ustad and Sheikh Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib, Hafidhullah, Allah give him complete Shifa. He gave that name because he knew we have a passion there to protect the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and to speak out openly without fear and favor against the Shia. And Nabi alayhi salam said, when you see and hear people cursing and speaking bad of my sahaba, so faqulu, then say la'anatullahi ala sharrikum, Allah's curse be upon you for the evil you are perpetrating. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. So that is how we came about, and it was on the 12th of April last year, 2018. So it was 25th, 26th of Rajab, and mashallah, with the help and mercy of Allah and your du'as, that we are increasing the listenership and people are coming to know about the authentic Islamic stance on the Shias and the enemies of Islam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says here, Ustad, this is from the Australia, the Perth, sisters from Perth. They're saying that, please list the rights of a father over his sons, Mufti Sab. We want to record it. This is from Australia, the sisters, Ustad.
Remember that whether it's the father or the mother, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That, O you who believe, 89 times in various places, several places, Almighty Allah mentions this phrase, save yourself and your children, your family members from the fire. So we should not only be concerned about their clothing, their eating, drinking. We need to protect their belief structure and remember the best gift a father can give to his children. مَا نَحَلَ وَالِدُنَّ وَلَدًا نَحْلًا إِلَّا Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا نَحَلَ وَالِدٌ نَحْلًا أَحْسَنَ مِنْ أَدَبٍ حَسَنٍ The best gift that a father can give the children is good character. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. So now we need to see. The baby is born, so now all the medical expenses will be borne by the father. Then the shelter, the clothing, the food, all that will be included. But thereafter, remember, from the mother's side, there will be so much love and compassion. Yes. But the father must inculcate the great qualities of akhlaq and character. Sad to say that today majority of the fathers are shirking in that response, in that regard, that they are busy in their shop, in their job, and what have you, and they just leave it to the wife, or they leave it to the maulana, the imam, the sheikh in the madrasa. So that is unacceptable. Thereafter, we have to ensure that our children receive proper Islamic education. Today, when you go to the West, America, Australia, Europe, you will find that the Muslim children are going once a week, twice a week, on a weekend to madrasa, and that can never be sufficient. Whole week, you must remember, they are there in a hostile environment, and then you want 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week or so. So you think that they will be able to learn Islam and safeguard their belief. It will be almost impossible. So we as the parents and seniors must ensure that we protect ourselves, protect our children, and they live with Islam and they die with Islam. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ And you don't pass away but except in the state of Islam.
Ustada, this is a brother from Benoni. He says, Mufti Saab, we're not so learned, so I just want to ask you, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab mentioned that oral sex is makruh. Does this mean that it is permissible but makruh? Anonymous brother, Ustad.
We must never put words in our mouths. Show me once when I said is makruh. I told you it's haram, and never did I ever use the word. Nor in my written fatwa, nor in my WhatsApp, nor on the radio. So you should not be distorting the words, brother. You are trying to fool people by saying that I said so. And that is a buhtan, a wild accusation, for which you will receive a major, major sin for lying and propaganda. So remember, whether it's oral, whether it's anal, all is haram. And all this is in the Quran and in the teaching of Nabi alayhi salam. Surah 2, verse number 222. So you must remember, Almighty Allah teaches us that when a lady is now clean from her menses, فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَا So now she took her first ghusl and compulsory bath. فَأَتُوهُنَّ So you, the husbands, go to her. مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ So where Allah commanded you to go. So where did Almighty Allah command the husband to go? The very next verse shows us, Surah 2, verse 223, نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْسٌ لَكُمْ فَأَتُوا حَرْسَكُمْ Remember that your wives are your tilt, are your plantation. So go to your plantation so you can understand what that means there. So you must remember, oral, anal, all unacceptable, not permissible and haram. Second one is madhi. Madhi is pre-seminal fluid. So when a person is caressing, fondling his wife, then when that person, the person is caressing, fondling his wife, then he goes into overdrive, and then his love, lust and everything increases. But there is certain thing that emanate from his private part that is called madhi, and that is pre-seminal fluid. Madhi, according to everybody, all the scholars, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanafi's, Ambali's, is not permissible, is najis, is impure. So you're taking something that is impure, napak, and putting in somebody's mouth. So it's like taking urine or blood or alcohol and putting in someone's mouth. So obviously that is also haram. So therefore we rule, definitely it is not permissible and unacceptable.
Subhanallah. 27 minutes after 11, you are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage, Part 1, every Tuesdays between 11 to 12. Yes, we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and the listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. 084-786-3132, that's our WhatsApp number. Dr. Sub says from White River, Ustad, that he is busy compiling a CD. of the bliss of marriage, and he says he's going to send you the CD, inshallah, and he wants to give it out to everybody. And Dr. Sab says that the Mufti Sab, how come it's so different in today's times what our youngsters for marriage comparing to our daddies and our nannies, you know, the grandfathers that time who start?
Remember, Dr. Sab, at that time the knowledge was less, but the sincerity and the fear of Almighty Allah, the love for Allah Jalla wa Ala, the love for Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was much more. People would eat haram, people knew less, but they would practice on it. Today there is an explosion of information. People, children know what to go. Just go on Sheikh Google and Google will teach them 90%, 80% of the time that it is things that will be maybe harmful for them. And even Islamic things, because the Qadianis are putting things, the Shias, Kafir, non-Muslims are putting things. So many people are using that. So that is not an authentic source of Islamic literature. So unzuru amman ta'khuduna dinakum. Ibn Sirin used to say, watch out from whom you imbibe and acquire your deen. You have to take your deen from authentic people, authentic sources and references. So very good if you are compiling that, Dr. Sab, Allah Ta'ala reward you. So today you can see the children disrespecting the parents. You can see the parents are souls, they're secular inclined, and they themselves have hardly any time for Islam. Third one, what are we eating? So always going to this restaurant and that restaurant, and then they got the halal logo. These halal logos are not worth the paper on which they are written. So our income has become tainted, what we consume is tainted, and what will flow from our bodies will also be polluted. So that is what you are seeing in a nutshell. So because people want their rights, people want their freedom, people think they can do as they please, so they think that they know so much. Yesterday I was reading something, and a person wrote, very beautiful. He had a janaza, you know, and at the back there they buried that person. It was written, "Me aham ta ye waham he." I thought I'm very important, but that is just the figment of my imagination. So remember, he rhymed up the words aham and waham. So me aham ta, I thought I'm very important, lakin ye waham ta, it was just the figment of my imagination. We are non-entities, and we need to be loyal, devoted, dedicated to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Deenul Islam. The problem today is majority of the ummah are dedicated to their shop, to their job, to their worldly careers and pursuits, and you find that that is what they strive for and aspire for, and therefore you find the mayhem and chaos on the earth today.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Ustad, how should one repent for committing such a sin, adultery and fornication, Ustad?
First and foremost, before we come to the tawbah part and repentance, we should know what is the punishment for it as well. In Surah 24, Surah Nur, therefore our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, "Allimu nisa'akum Surat al-Nur." They teach your females and your mothers, sisters, daughters Surah Nur. In their Surah Nur, Surah 24, verse 2, Almighty Allah states that الزانيه والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما مئه جلده. Give both of them 100 lashes in public. ولا تاخذكم بما رافا. Don't show them compassion and mercy. So imagine Islam wants to make few people an example and a sample, and the whole ummah would then be straight and would lead a pure and a chaste life. Today the man-made democracies, Bill of Rights, human rights, not worth the paper on which is written. The crooks and the criminals have more rights than the victims. So what good is that constitution and that human rights? So therefore you find all this looting and plundering going on in South Africa and other parts of the world. Because the crooks, remember, they become bold in committing crime. Second one is when there's adultery. Fornication means the person is not married. Adultery means they married and then they commit this crime. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Then it is capital punishment. 54 Sahaba reported the hadith of Rajam, meaning that there'll be death penalty for them. So we need to understand that. However, when a person committed this crime, remember it's a major major, major crime. Therefore, the punishment is also serious. So, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not become despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Almighty Allah. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Verily, Almighty Allah forgives all the sins. So, the sign that the person's tawbah is accepted, he or she does not commit that crime again in future. That is tawbatan nasuha. And why do people commit this crime? Because day and night they are busy with the movies, busy with their cell phone, busy with the pornography, and what you see, you want to try, you want to experiment. And therefore you find today zina, fornication, adultery has become rife and rampant in the ummah. Only Almighty Allah protect us. So many people contact us in confidence and they are weeping, crying, and because their wife is now deceiving the husband, he thinks it is his child, but it is the boyfriend and the toy boy and the joy boy's son or daughter. And the wife, the husband, he's busy with his secretary and his mistress, and he thinks the wife is unaware, but everything eventually gets exposed. So read, Allahumma hassin farji. O Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, protect our private parts. And remember this hadith, then inshallah we can continue. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was, who is, who will always be rahmatul lil alameen, the only mercy to every creation of Allah, said, may yadman li ma bayna lihyay wa ma bayna rijlay adman lahu bil jannah. You give me guarantee, O Ummah, you will guard what is between your jaws, the tongue. Give me guarantee, you will guard what is between your legs, your private part. I, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guarantee you will enter Jannah, inshaAllah. So imagine, al-famu wal-farju. Guard the tongue, guard the private part. And today we are the ones, we destroy all this. Allah Ta'ala protect us.
I see, by saying here, Mufti Sapa, I love the quoting. Me aham ta, lekin ye waham ta. He says, bijuba.
Very good. We all should take lesson from that. Remember that we all think we muster somebody, but then after death we realize we are muster nobody.
Allahu Akbar. Ustaz, the question says, me and my wife, we are both employed, and my wife make more money than me, but I pay all the bills, Ustaz, with my income, but my income is not enough to pay food on the table, and my wife don't want to help me. And if I ask her to stop working, she's going to need daily payment, Ustaz. So the brother wants to know, so in Islam, what can I do as a husband, Ustaz?
Remember, it is your duty, even if your wife is a millionaireess, multi-millionaire, it's still your duty to pay for her food, pay for the shelter, pay for the clothing, whatever expenses, medical and what have you. All this is the husband's responsibility. So you can't say, no, she don't want to help me and so forth and so on. It's not her duty, it's your duty. So you have to ensure that you got enough. Now you say, no, that we're running short. So how much you paying for your TV license and your TV subscription? How many cigarettes per day you are smoking? So if you take all these haram things and get rid of that, then remember, see how much barakah, blessing there will be. But we want to enjoy the haram things Allah forbid. And then in the same breath, we also complain that our money is finished before end of the month. It must be finished because you destroyed all the barakah and blessings yourself.
Somebody says, Ustaz, please tell me, when women go down in sajda, when making their prayers, are they supposed to keep their feet such that it's on their toes and elbows off the ground? Please tell me correct position for women in sajda. Anonymous sister, Ustaz.
Remember that you, the ladies, you perform salat, what we call tawarruk. Tawarruk means your buttocks are on the ground and your feet will come out on the right hand side. So when you go into sajda, all the toes, 10 toes, will be on the ground and they will be facing the qibla. Remember that. You don't face here and there. So on the right hand side, your feet come out, and when you go into posterior, you make sajda, So your posterior is down and your feet are down and your toes are facing Qibla. So that is how a woman performs the sajda. And remember that it's all four schools, the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanafi's, Hanbali say that Salatul Rajul and Salatul Mar'a, the namaz and the prayer of a male and female are definitely different and not the same. So therefore those are sheikhs and imams, whoever say is the same, we reject that, remember that. And similarly, when a woman goes into ruku and so forth, she will just bend down a little bit and not like the man. So the salat of the lady is based on haya, shame and modesty.
Hussain, one more question, inshallah, thereafter we will be going, inshallah, for an ad break. It says here, Mufti Saab, is a son-in-law allowed to make salam to his mother-in-law's sister who is old enough to be his mother? He ignores her completely. He is in his final year doing alim course. And the brother says, Ustad, is the Markaz Sahaba decoder gratis only for people that are zakatable? Ustad?
Remember that person there can make salam to his mother-in-law because his mother-in-law he can't marry. And regarding the mother-in-law's sister, all of them, they are ajnabiya, they are strangers. So if everybody is together and he makes salam, so that is fine. But if he's alone, then he don't make salam to the mother-in-law sister. So nobody got the right to complain. Because remember, even if she's old, but the fact remains she's ajnabiya and a stranger. So therefore, Islam has made all these hudud and limitations. Because one thing can lead together to another. We know today's world what things are going on. So we need to be clear on that issue. Regarding the Markaz Sahaba, yes, we give it out gratis to those people who are poor and from the zakat and so forth. But remember, if you want to purchase, then it is 695 rand per decoder. And inshallah, you contact the IG Hussain group there in Durban, or the Ansar shop there and bookstore there in Durban, or Hafiz Hussain Wadi at the Al Huda school. So all the stocks are there. And if you want from us here, then just contact us by phone. And inshallah, then you just pay and then we'll give it to you. So, but if people are really, really poor and they are Muslim, then from the zakat funds, we'll give it to them and then they can inshallah educate themselves.
21 minutes to 12, we go inshallah for an ad break. When we get back, inshallah, yes, my beloved, beautiful listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Markaz Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
18 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. Yes, live on the airwaves of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Yusuf Asmail and Faisal Asmail and Company. 0847863132. That's our WhatsApp number to the international overseas countries, plus 2784 786 3132. Ustad, somebody is saying here that I want to know what is the sin or punishment for someone who has two wives but does not spend any nights with his second wife due to the influence of his family. What is the sin for the people influencing him? And is there any sawab for the wife to stay in a marriage in a situation like this? Anonymous Ustad.
Jazakallah khairan for that query. Before I respond to it, let me just make the announcement that inshallah tomorrow, that's Wednesday, so Wednesday night inshallah I will be there in the Dundee Masjid for a program. It will be live on Markaz Sahaba and on Sirius FM inshallah after Isha. And then on Thursday evening after Maghrib, we will be in the Escort Masjid inshallah. And then Friday Jumu'ah, we will be in the Bergwell Masjid inshallah for the Jumu'ah Bayan and so forth. And then Friday night after Isha, we will be there in Ladysmith. All this will be live inshallah. And then on Saturday afternoon, this one just came up now, so this one won't be live, and that will be in Denhauser inshallah after Zohar. And at night inshallah after Maghrib, it will be in Darum, Newcastle. So all these programs, the night programs, will be live inshallah. Make dua to Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala takes us safely and makes the programs a wonderful success inshallah. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us in the noble Quran, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 3. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. If you fear you cannot do justice, فَوَاحِدَا, then you keep one wife only. This is a huge and major problem nowadays. People want to take second, third, fourth wife, but they do not do justice. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Abu Dawood, مَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ إِمْرَاتَانْ, whosoever has two wives, like this question here, وَمَالَ إِلَىٰ إِحْدَاهُمَا, and is favoring one of them, the old wife in this case, and the second wife, maybe he just goes there, hit and run, and then forgets everything, and his first wife and the family and the children are all putting him up. Yes, don't spend any time, any nights with the second wife. So remember, all that is haram, you are guilty of a major, major sin, O husband. Your family is guilty of a major sin. They are accomplice in this crime because they are encouraging you to do something which is haram. Surah 5 verse 2, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, do not cooperate in sin and transgression. So remember what will happen to that person who favors one wife. جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَشِقُّهُ سَاقِتٌ, he will come on the day of Qiyamah, his whole body will be tilting, bending towards one side, the right hand side for example, or left hand side. People will know that this person here was unfair to one of his wives or two of his wives or whatever the case might be. So it shows that the humiliation awaits such a person in front of the entire creation. So that is the punishment for such a person there. Third one, now this wife, what should she do, the second wife? So if you stay in the marriage, it's good for you. You can cry to Almighty Allah, I don't know if you have a child or children from this husband here. So if there's a child, children, stay in the marriage. And remember, you speak to him and so forth. But if he's abusing you and hitting you, assaulting you and so forth, then remember, it's better for you to leave the marriage.
No child, Ustad.
If there's no children, then you can make istikhara as well and see what are your options you should exercise for the future.
Ustad, a Newcastle sister says here, I don't want money or fame. I just want the gates of Jannah calling my name. I told my husband that and he's now furious and upset, Ustad.
Remember, husband, wife, you need to come on the same page. Mm. So maybe your husband thought that he's going to marry you, and I don't know, maybe your parents are well-to-do, or maybe you yourself had a lot of assets, but now you're changing your life, and you feel that these assets only don't bring happiness, and you're more concerned about the year after, and so forth. So your husband now feels you have become like a buzruk, and now you became too pious overnight, and so forth. So what you need to do, sister, is that with diplomacy, wisdom, start some ta'aleem in your house, but do it on a daily basis. For example, at night after Maghrib, after Isha, when the whole family are there, take Riyadu Salihin, you find the English translation, take the Fazail works of Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Zakariya Nawarallahu Marqadam, and start reading it, give your children, give your husband, everybody a turn, and slowly, gradually you will see that it will bring a change in him, and inshallah he'll become a much better husband rather than just fixing and concentrating on his money and consumerism and materialism. So today that is a big problem. People's focus is only on the material and the material things and not on the spiritual things. And therefore we invite the wrath and anger of Almighty Allah.
Mm. The sister says here, Mufti Sahab, that I was previously married. Alhamdulillah, now I remarried a decent man who treats me well, Mufti Sahab. I have kids from previous marriage. Now my ex is interfering in my marriage. He calls my husband and swears him all the time, and he badmouths me too. The only reason he keeps in contact with my husband is so the kids can have a relationship with him. Please advise me, I'm lost, Mufti Sahab.
Remember that you should tell your current husband that this ex-husband is jealous now, yes, and bitter with envy and so forth, because now he realizes it was his fault and he divorced you. Now therefore he wants to interfere in this happy marriage of yours. So you and your current husband should be on the same page. Second thing is this, that when he wants to sway your husband, sway you, abuse you, and poison the children's minds against you, so you all should be reading Surah 40 verse 44, and that is wa ufawwidu amri ila Allah inna Allah basirun bil ibad. Ya Allah, I hand over my affairs, my matters to you, And Allah Ta'ala is all observing over the servants. So once a person does that, then the next verse Almighty Allah teaches us, Surah 40 verse 45, فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. Almighty Allah protects the person from the scheming, plotting of other people. So yeah, Allah Ta'ala will protect you. And tell him, if you continue like this, then you will get a restraining order. Restraining order means that he will not be able to get visitation rights because he's intimidating you, swearing you, abusing you. So you must threaten him with that as well, and tell him that if he wants to see the children, then he better start behaving properly as a father.
Ustaz, let us go to overseas. This is a first time listener all the way from Toronto. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. First time listening to the bliss of marriage. A desperate sister, please make dua for me. I've been trying to have kids almost 8 years now. Please protect my marriage. I was betrayed at work, and please pray that Allah grant me sabr to overcome these trials and perform well. My husband often tells me that if I want to make him happy, grant him a baby he wants. Oh Allah, if that was just easy, I already gave him that. But Allah is the only giver of life, the only one who can ease my pain. Please forgive me and grant me a good offspring. Sister from Toronto, Ustad.
Sister, when your husband is in a good mood, you need to explain to him the greatest of people, some of them didn't have children. You take Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, married to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no children. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, no children. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, no children. In our time, Sheikh Abul Hassan Nadwi rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars of Indo-Pak, remember, no offspring. So it's not just an on button and off button. So husband, wife, you have to duk and suk at moments of happiness and joy and moments of difficulty. You are a partner. So for him to say that do this, but it's beyond your control, this comes only from Almighty Allah. Just last week or 2 weeks ago, somebody phoned and they said that their daughter gave birth after 9 years or 10 years married, subhanallah. So never ever lose hope. Never ever lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah. So you, my sister in Toronto, I hope you got pen and paper. Start writing down. These are the verses you must read. You must read. Your husband must read. And inshallah, by next year Ramadan, that you are pregnant or you already gave birth. So all this could happen for Almighty Allah is very easy. So write down Surah 21, verse 89. This is in the 17th Jew, 17th Subara. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Ya Allah, don't leave me alone. You are the best one to grant heirs. The dua of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, he's old, his wife is old, and yet he's begging, beseeching Almighty Allah. And see, in the beginning of Surah Maryam, chapter 19, see how he made dua. Inni wa anal azmu minni washta'ala ar-ra'su shayba. Ya Allah, my bones are gone brittle and weak. My hair is gone greyish and whitish, Ya Allah. Grant me this son and grant me this baby. So that was the dua he made. Surah chapter 21, verse 89. Rabbi la tadarni farda wa anta khairul warithin. Then you go to Surah chapter 37 and verse number 100. Chapter 37 verse 100. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, no children. And he's pining also, he wants a child. His wives want children. Sayyida Hajra radiallahu anha and Sayyida Sarah radiallahu anha. So lo and behold, he cried to Allah, Surah 37 verse 100. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh, beloved Allah, grant me pious offspring. Almighty Allah in his old age granted him first with Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, and thereafter with Nabi, so Ishaq alayhi salatu salam. So first Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, and thereafter Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam. And see the dua, Surah 14 verse 39. Alhamdulillah illadhi wa bali al-kibari Ismail wa Ishaq. Ya Allah, I praise you for all the praises for you. You gave me the gift despite my old age. You first gave me Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, then Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam. So read Surah 21 verse 89, Surah 37 verse 100, and both of you make istighfar. أستغفر الله أستغفر الله أستغفر الله ربي من كل ذنب وأتوب إليه. So when we make abundant istighfar, Quran Kareem states, يمددكم بأموالي وبنين, that Almighty Allah will bless you with wealth and Allah will increase your children as well.
Subhanallah. Somebody says in Mufti Sahab that before we got married, Mufti Sahab, my husband displayed himself as this bichara haru poiro. Even the community, everyone spoke so highly of him. Only after marriage, I found out he was Bombay bad boy putting up a facade. I'm so gutted. I feel used and lied to. This is not what I signed up for. Move this up, anonymous sister.
Yes, you must remember many a time people, when they want to get married, they put on a show. Then they became buzruk. They will start reading salat and they will act like, you understand, like the waliullah. But when they get married, then they start showing their true colors. What a tyrant and what a hopeless person he is. So in a case like this, it seems this is what happened. So you need to ask yourself that you, your parents, your family, did you do any homework? Did you make istikhara? So many a time that we just make quick and we get married, but there's no homework done. So my advice now, work on your marriage, try and win him over. You made all the sacrifice, he deflowered you, you're no more a virgin. And now you must remember that you have to live with this husband, and maybe one day he reads salat, one day he doesn't read salat. So you need to create that environment in your home, and in that way, inshallah, that Almighty Allah makes it conducive, that your marriage lasts for many, many years and decades to come in the future.
Somebody says, Ya Mufti Sahab, Jazakumullah Khairan for the beautiful program. I am a single mom. My son is now 21 years old. His dad left us for 15 years ago. Now that I want to remarry, he's being defiant, arrogant, and umptious, saying that he will never accept the man I want to marry and I must choose between him and this other man. I sacrificed my youth for him, Mufti Sahab. All these years I never married looking after him. Now he is an adult. Don't I deserve happiness, Mufti Sahab?
Remember, in this case here, your son cannot prevent you from marrying, provided that you found someone that is compatible, suitable, because he feels that he owns you. Antalid al-amatu rabbataha. One of the signs of Qiyamah, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the children and the sons will become the masters and the owners of their mother, and they will want to dictate to them, do this, do that. So exactly what's happening now in this situation. Second one, remember that you should then ask somebody in your family, your uncle or whoever, father, whoever is still alive, and in that way there they give consent and you get married, then everything will be okay and acceptable. Last point here we want to make is, remember, we have the tafsir 5:1 to 1:1. Today is Surah Abasa, and we will start at verse number 11. Yesterday we did 1 to 10, and remember, we'll give you the explanation and summary of that lesson again today, inshallah. And we should always remember that when we listen to tafsir, then we should be listening attentively, because it is the kalam of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala protect our families.
Ameen.
And make the children the coolness of our eyes.
Ameen, ameen, summa ameen. Ustad, it's a minute and a half left. Inshallah, are we going to leave it there? Inshallah, I see up next is the news, Ustad. Ustad, your bayan this week, inshallah?
Gee, inshallah, tomorrow night we will be in Dundee after Isha, and then Thursday night after Maghrib in Escort, Friday Jumu'ah in Bergwell, and Friday night in Ladysmith after Isha, and Saturday afternoon in Denhauser after Zohar, and Saturday night after Isha, after Maghrib rather, Saturday night after Maghrib at Darulum Newcastle. So those are the programs. Make dua, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala accepts it from us and makes it the means of hidayah for the entire human race.
A minute left for the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali. We leave you and love you, my beloved, beautiful, warm-hearted listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. From myself and my beloved Fadilatul Ustad, we will be seeing you, inshallah, tomorrow morning, early in the morning, with our program Safinatu Ilal Jannah. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdinasa jami'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.